Who does God use to accomplish the extraordinary? Is it the skilled, the wealthy, the uneducated, the qualified, the poor, the young, the gifted, or the ordinary?
Welcome to the Principles for Smart Living show with your host, Conrad L. Jones. Let's join in now.
Today, we're talking about exploring ordinary life with an extraordinary God. Let's look at how God uses ordinary people to accomplish his extraordinary purpose. So here's the big question. Who does God use to accomplish the extraordinary? Is it the skilled, the wealthy, the uneducated, the qualified, the poor, the young, the gifted, or the ordinary? Let's start with a quick read through the story found in John chapter 6, verse 1 to 14, so that you can have an image in your mind for connecting the dots. Here's what the text says. It says, after this, Jesus crossed over the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias, and a huge crowd, many of them pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem from the annual Passover celebrations, were following him wherever he went, and they wanted to watch him heal the sick. So when Jesus went up into the hills and he sat down with his disciples around him, he soon saw a great multitude of people climbing the hills looking for him. And so he turned to Philip and he asked, he said, Philip, where can we buy bread to feed all of these people? Now, the text says he was testing Philip because he already knew what he was going to do. But Philip said, it would take a fortune to begin to do this. Then Andrew, who was Simon Peter's brother, spoke up and he said, there is a youngster here with 5 barley loaves and a couple of fish. But what good is that with all this mob? Jesus said, tell everyone to sit down. And all of them, the text says, the approximate count of the men only were about 5,000, and they sat down on the grassy slopes. Then Jesus took the loaves and he gave thanks to God and he broke them and he passed them out. After, he did the same thing to the fish, and everyone ate until they were filled. It says, now Jesus told his disciples, gather all the scraps. That's a powerful principle right there. He said, so that nothing is wasted. And the 12 baskets were filled with leftovers. The text says, when the people realized what a great miracle had happened, they were overjoyed and they exclaimed, surely he is the prophet that we've been expecting. So let's go and look at the text, because from the backdrop of the text, there is an important person to consider who is not written into the story, but who possibly existed nonetheless. Now, the common characters within the story is Jesus, who asks God to multiply the food. Then you have the disciples who served the food. You have the boy who gave his lunch. And while all of these persons play a significant role in the story, I want to focus on the person who is missing. Yet, this person has served an important role within this miracle. Who is that person? That person is the little boy's mother. And she gets up early during the day, as she has done for the last few years. She probably gathers some sticks. She starts a fire. She begins to cook breakfast and lunch for the family. And today, the little boy is up early. He couldn't sleep last night because his father had probably given him permission to walk up the hill to hear the prophet or hear this new prophet teach. Or perhaps his father was with him. His mother, like she usually does, she wraps a special meal, 5 small sardines and 2 dinner rolls in a small piece of cloth. And she hands it to him and she pushes him out the door. However, today is going to be unlike any other day for this little boy. This is really powerful because he's going to be right in the middle of all the action. And for his mother, this is also going to be a powerful day because she will come to realize that the common everyday work of her hands that God has used to bless over 5,000 people. This woman is going to learn that nothing is ordinary in the hand of an extraordinary God. You know, we live in the ordinary, and many times because life leads us to do the same things over and over and over again, it is easy to start believing that nothing extraordinary will ever happen in our lives, that nothing extraordinary will ever come from what we do. It is easy to start believing that what we do does not matter. What we do is insignificant. What we do holds no value or merit. And oftentimes, nothing could be further from the truth.
We know you are enjoying the show, so we'll be right back after this message from our sponsor. Do you want to navigate through this year as a stronger, happier, wealthier you? Then, grab your copy of the brand new book, Reclaim Your Life, How to Repay the Debt You Owe Yourself, and Finally Live the Life You Were Born For. Visit reclaimbook.com. Let's rejoin the show.
You know, we take care of our children as normal, but do we know how planting those little seeds of family and church within them will help them in their later years, even as they probably become leaders of the country? We take the time to come and worship together as normal, but do we know how keeping the doors of the church open will help someone find the love and the acceptance of Christ and deter them from committing suicide and doing many other horrible things that mankind does on the landscape of humanity? And these are just simple examples of the things that we do as ordinary, which has the potential to produce extraordinary results as God would direct. So let me give you some examples of ordinary people whose lives are today recognized as extraordinary because they simply followed God. Here's the first. We have an elderly man with no children, and he becomes the father of a nation. Who is he? Genesis chapter 21 reveals him as Abraham. Then we have a harlot, a prostitute, who has faith in God and is chosen to be part of the lineage of Christ. Who is she? She's called Rahab. Joshua chapter 6. We have a young woman who becomes queen of a foreign nation. Who is she? Her name is Esther. We find that in Esther chapter 2. Then there's this teenage slave boy that becomes prime minister in a foreign country. You know him as Joseph. We find his story in Genesis 37. We have a wilderness wanderer who paves the way for the greatest person in history. We know him as John the Baptist, and we see his story in John chapter 1. Then there's a persecutor of the early church who is chosen by God to preach salvation to the world and write a large portion of the doctrine of the church. We know him as Paul the Apostle, Acts chapter 9. There's an ordinary teenage girl. She's chosen to be the mother of the Son of God. You know her as Mary, Luke chapter 1. There's a runaway murderer who rescues a nation from 400 years of slavery. We know him as Moses. We find him in the book of Exodus. And then there's a scared, worried coward who rises up and become one of Israel's mightiest generals, overthrowing an army of over 30,000 with only 300 men. You know him as Gideon, Judges chapter number 7. So, ordinary is defined, among other things, as something regular, customary, usual, or normal, commonplace, or an average condition. And then on the other side, extraordinary is defined as very unusual, remarkable, or surprising, not in an established manner, course, or order. When we use the word ordinary or regular to define our lives, are we really just saying that what we are experiencing is nothing outside normal? The question is, why would we want to experience that which is outside the normal or experience things that are different? You know, it is often because as human beings, God created us to always be progressing towards becoming someone great. And this requires embracing change and recognizing that it is a tool to advance us toward our next level. But here's a challenge most of us face with this. There is always a struggle between comfort and adventure. On the one hand, we want to be comfortable. We want a normal, predictable routine. Because when we know what to expect every day, we feel it kind of gives us a sense of security that our lives won't be thrown into chaos. And then on the other hand, we want adventure. You see, our comfort zones, because they are predictable, can become boring. And there's a part of us that longs for new excitement, new adventure, fresh discovery in our world. We want to take a chance and do something unusual and exotic with our lives, to know that we really lived fully, that we loved openly, and we mattered significantly. So we want enough comfort to live predictable lives, but not too much. Not too much comfort to lead lives of boredom. Then we want enough adventure to live exciting lives filled with discovery, but not too much adventure to cause us feel as if things are unpredictable. So here's another perspective. If we look from the perspective of someone who is in a much more difficult place than you are right now, For instance, someone who can't find enough food and they've got to dig through the garbage to find scraps for their children to eat every day. Perhaps it's someone who has slept under a bridge for the past 10 years in every kind of weather. It could be someone who has worn the same shoes, same clothing for the past 10 years. Would your life be considered ordinary or extraordinary to that person? All right, so here are the takeaway points. Jesus could transform an ordinary boy's lunch into a feast for over 5,000 people simply because the boy was willing to give what he had to Jesus. You know, once he gave the gift of his lunch to Jesus, the boy let go of what it could be used for, and he embraced Jesus's decision to do whatever he saw fit with the gift. Imagine this. Imagine picking up a pen to write with, and the pen says, "I only write on light blue 5x5 cards. You know, I'll put the pen down because it's not really available to me because it wants to dictate how it wants to be used. That means I'm not its master. I'm actually its servant." So what happens when Jesus wants to use you in a particular way, in a particular capacity, and then you make a decision and you determine that's not how I want to be used? Do you think Jesus would continue using you in that predicament? Or is it the fact that you have now chosen to become the master and make him the servant? You know, we may have common everyday experiences, and God often allows us to have those experiences so that we have a sense of order. But there is nothing ordinary about who you are called to be. An unusual life comes simply by daily embracing and following the leading of Christ, because we never know what he will ask of us or where he will lead us to. The next is, when your life story is written and read the way we are reading the story of the boy with the bread and the fish right now, what will make your story extraordinary to the next generation of people? So here's the conclusion. So God is already doing an extraordinary work within you. However, you have to sometimes recognize his hands upon you, the ordinary, and upon your ordinary, making it extraordinary. So have an extraordinary day, because you are ordinary, but in the hands of God, you have become extraordinary.
Thank you for joining us for the Principles for Smart Living show with your host, Conrad L. Jones. Remember to visit PurposeUnleashed.com for more strategies, tips, and inspirational content.